You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
The difference that a year can make when you give that year to God, right? For me, I can remember it was January 8th when I decided that I was done living in a really unhealthy way, and I was sick of being in pain all the time and being just not feeling good. And Grace came over and schooled me in the ways of ketogenics, which is just a way to eat with less carbs. And she left, and I was like, that seems kind of hard, but I gotta do something. And so I took one step. And the first day, I ate, cheese and meat. And I was at the end of the day, and I was trying to count up my carbs, and I didn't know what else I could eat. And everything in my house was, like, bread and chips and garbage. And I looked in my pantry, and I had, like, canned green beans. And I'm like, Grace, I'm, like, texting Grace, I'm like, I'm hungry. What can I eat? Can I eat these canned green beans? What can I have? And she was like, wait, you're doing it? I was like, yeah. And so then I started this journey. And the thing is that it takes one step. It takes one decision. It takes one moment to start something that changes a lot about who you are. It changes the trajectory. You know, we were in a meeting a couple years ago with Pastor Dan, and he was like, what if we sold this building that's falling down around us? And we were like, what if? Nick was driving by this place, and there was like literally a hand-painted wooden sign in the window, and it said for sale, and we were like, what if? We, last year, were remodeling this place, and it was taking for stinking ever. Does everybody remember first of the year last year when we were like, we're supposed to be in here, and we're not, and grr. And then we were going to be in April, and we weren't. And then we were going to be in, and we finally got in June, right? July, sorry. Whatever. July, we finally got in here. But it's fun to come here during the week and just watch people walk in. I was sitting here preparing my sermon, and there's a bulletin board there, which I don't know that I had even noticed. Every person that walks in here stands at that bulletin board and learns about what's going on in our community. Like, I don't know where there's other bulletin boards in town. Like, people come here and they gather, and it was one moment, one dream, one step, and then the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step. And we're going to look today at what a difference a year and 2 years and 3 years and 5 years can make after a first step. We're going to be in the book of Luke originally here. We're going to look in chapter 5 of Luke. And being that I am neither technical nor pre-prepared for anything, y'all better have your Bibles, because it's not going to be up there like it is with Dan. So bring your Bibles to church. Jesus is hanging out, right? He's preaching in the synagogues. He's just started his ministry. He's healing people. And he shows up by the side of the sea. And there's these guys in these boats, and he's like, hey, can I use your boat for a minute? Because if I get out on the water, there's really good acoustics. I'm like, sure. So here's the thing, though. They had been out all night long, and they were tired, and they had caught nothing. Anybody's 2016 feel like that? Feel like you've been out all night, and you've caught nothing? You're doing all the stuff you feel like you're supposed to do, and you're stuck. That's how I felt. Last year, I felt stuck. We're in that building over there. I felt stuck. And it was one of those times where I just needed to take a step, right? And so Jesus comes and he teaches. And then he tells the guys, hey, why don't you push out into the middle of the lake And let's throw your nets out. And they're like, dude, I loved your sermon. It was great. Awesome. You're on point. Here's the thing, though. I'm a fisherman, and I know how to do this. And A, you don't go fishing in the middle of the day. You go fishing in the morning, because that's when the fish bite. And it's the middle of the day. And we already did it all night long, so this is really just a bad idea. And Jesus is like, just trust me, okay? So they push out. And he's like, all right, carpenter, maybe you'll build me a chair out there, whatever. So they push out in the middle of the lake, and they throw the net over, and what happens? It fills with fish so full that it starts to break. And they start reeling it in, and then the boat is so full of fish that it starts to sink. And, I mean, I was home over Christmas this year, and we have some fun traditions in our house of watching the exact same movie over and over and over again until you can quote every line and then you watch it again. And so we were watching Forrest Gump for the 12 millionth time, okay? This is like a Bubba Gump moment here, okay? They are filling their boat with fish so much that they have to call their partners over and they fill their boat with fish. And these guys are like, what just happened? And Peter falls before Jesus' feet and he goes, I am not worthy to be near you right now. I need you to go because I'm scared and I'm just not worthy. And Jesus goes, hey, why don't you stop doing this? Why don't you follow me? And I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. Because I just done taught you how to fish for fish, because boom. But he teaches them then how to fish for people. And he takes, and Peter looks at him, and there's a moment in everybody's life where you go, all right, I've been doing this for a really long time. And it has gotten me exactly this. And I'm not satisfied with this. And in that moment, God can come and he goes, what if you did this? And all of a sudden, you might have spent your whole life learning to fish. And he's going to take all that training and teach you how to fish for something that's going to fulfill you. And Peter leaves everything, as do John, as does his brother Andrew. They walk away from everything they've ever known to follow this one guy. And guess what? It's a first step, and the trajectory takes them totally different places. We're going to look at Peter's life, because I think all of us are in different spots within Peter's life. Peter grew up Jewish. He's a Jewish guy. He grew up religious. All of us in here, for the most part, I think, know church, right? We know God, consider ourselves Christians. We're in a place, we've done this. We know how to fish. And sometimes in our walk with Christ, it's something that's in our lives, but it isn't our lives. When we sang, for me to live is Christ, I have to check my heart in that song. I love that song, but it's a conviction song for me. It's not necessarily I sing it in all truth, because you know what? I come here and I do this. This is part of what I do. But every day, day in and day out, am I fishing? Peter was a Jewish guy. God was in his life, but his whole life was day in and day out, throwing the nets and bringing them back. Throwing the nets and bringing them back. Until this moment when Jesus says, follow me. And he leaves behind the stuff that had taken up the majority of his life. And he gets on this journey with Jesus. And over the next, some scholars say a year. Some scholars say up to 3 years. He follows Jesus. And there are some really good 2016 moments. And there are some really awful moments, right? There's this moment where everybody is speculating about this guy that they're following. And Jesus goes, who do you think I am? And Peter has this, like, aha moment. Anybody ever, like, not really knowing something was true until you found yourself saying it, and then you were like, oh my gosh, that's totally true. I don't know if you've ever had, I have that moment all the time, where like, just once it comes out of your mouth, like the truth of it sinks in, and they go, he goes, who do you think I am? And Peter goes, you're the Messiah. And it sinks in, and he understands, you're God, like you're the one. In that moment, Peter had an inkling of what the rest of his life could look like. And then a few minutes later, Jesus calls him Satan and kind of whatever. But Peter does what all of us do. He has moments of brilliance and moments of failure. There's the moment where he realizes that Jesus is God. There's the moment where he watches over and over again Jesus healing people, and he learns, he watches, he sees how Jesus interacts with the crowd, he sees how he lays hands, he sees how the Holy Spirit works through him. He's picking up, he's learning this whole time, and at the same time he's fighting with the other guys about who's the best. And at the same time, when push comes to shove and Jesus goes to prison, it's Peter who doesn't have the guts to stand in that moment. It's Peter who lies to a 10-year-old kid because he's afraid she'll turn him in. Like, it's Peter who is sitting with the disciples in a locked house hiding. And Jesus busts through those moments. He busts into that house as the doors are locked, and he stands in the middle of them and he goes, look, do you remember everything that I told you? Because there's times where there's that first moment where you step out and you go, yeah, I'm going to follow Jesus. Anybody ever had a New Year's resolution and the first week you are on point? Yes. You go to Aldi and you buy you some bags of salad, right? And you head down to the gym. I hate the YMCA for the month of January because you can't find a stinking anything ever. But by February 15th, you are gold because everybody's done. All right? We're on point when we start. We say, yeah, I'm going to follow you. But there's a point in our journey where we have to keep following. At any point, Peter could have headed back. And in fact, after Jesus dies, he does. He heads back to fishing. He knows that he screwed up. He knows that everything that he followed is out. And he heads back, and Jesus meets him on the sea. And he said, and that's where he has that interaction with him. Jesus, or Peter, do you love me? Of course I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? I love you. And he gives him three chances. The same way that he screwed up three times, he says, you get three chances again to tell me that you love me when you denied me before. And he reinstates Peter and he starts the journey again. Because you know what? We screw up. We do. But it's a first step, and then it's an every step. It's a February, you get your booty to the gym. It's a March, you still buy salad and Aldi. It's May, you still sign up for an Ironman. And it's our church. It's not till July when we thought we were going to be open. And yet we plug on, we plug on. There were so many Sundays that were smushed into that building next door going, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. But we came back. We came back. See, because there's that starting point where you choose to leave everything behind. There's the point where you're walking with Jesus and he's picking out the stuff out of your life that's not supposed to be there. And there's that discipleship point. And then we hit the book of Acts. And Jesus goes home. And now it's on Peter. And he better have been paying attention, because you find yourself where I was in 2012 when I was crazy pregnant and totally not at all where I am today. There has been a journey, and every day, every choice, every year, everything leads you to where you are now. And it just takes one choice to get back on track when you feel stuck. And so this is the choice they make in Acts. Jesus says, I'm going home. And they watch him leave. And they could have been done at that point. In fact, a lot of people did walk away. Because there were a bunch of people that watched him ascend into heaven. And there were not that many people in the upper room. And Jesus said, go and wait. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited. And finally, the Spirit of God falls. And there's a new moment. They walk out into the streets, talking crazy, okay? Talking, speaking in tongues, talking in different languages. And the first thing is, people think they're drunk. That can happen, just so you know. Like, if you really just go all out with Jesus, not everybody's going to think you're awesome. In fact, sometimes taking that next step out to be the guy in front. Remember the feedback that Jesus got? It was not all positive. His Yelp reviews would have been very mixed. Okay? Jesus did not get 100% positive feedback. The disciples got to hang back and watch it happen. But now all of a sudden, they're the front man. Now all of a sudden, they have to be the ones that are taking the mixed reviews. And Peter stands up, and in his very first sermon, not all of you are pastors, but I'm going to say my first sermon was 5 minutes, and I had like 4 pages of notes that I read through in 5 minutes, and it was very poignantly awful, and luckily I wasn't hired at the time. Because I wouldn't have had a job anymore. That first sermon, most people kind of fall on their faces. Peter, a couple thousand people get saved. What else? And all of a sudden, the church is born. Because he now is going from that discipleship point where he's letting Jesus weed out stuff to the empowered spirit point where to live is Christ. Every breath, every word, every moment, every thought, everything that he did, the Spirit was breathing through him and talking through him and doing through him. And he preaches, and all these people get saved, and the church begins, and all of a sudden you've got all these guys, and they're meeting, and they're praying, and it's all this happiness. Kind of, you know, like when the coffee shop opened, and we're all like, yay, us, woo! And there's that great moment. But then, the next day, Peter has to make the next choice, right? What's he going to do? Well, he heads to the temple to pray because he wants to be with God. And as he walks up, a guy that he's walked by 1,000 times asks him a question he's been asked 1,000 times, but this time the Spirit breathes into it. There's a man at the door, and he says, can I have some money? And Peter says, look at me. Because the guy is just asking. I mean, people are walking by. He's not even paying attention. And he says, look at me. And the guy looks at him, and he says, I don't have any money. If you were that guy in that moment, wouldn't you be like, come on. I don't have any money, but here's what I'm going to give you. I have the Spirit of God in my life. Get up and walk. This guy, who's 40, has never walked, gets up and walks. And all of a sudden, all trouble breaks loose. All right? You would think this would be really awesome. No. Mm-mm. It ticks off some really important people. And all of a sudden, they are getting dragged before the Sanhedrin. This is the same guy that, like, a few months ago is hiding in a basement from a little kid, okay? All of a sudden, he's standing before the Sanhedrin. And what does he start doing? You killed God! That was not a good choice. Can you imagine? Like, if you get pulled before, like, the ruling everything, and you're like, by the way, you done messed up. That's not the Peter that we knew in the boat. That's not the Peter that we knew at the crucifixion. That's the Peter that the Holy Spirit is talking through. And he gets beaten up for it. That happens. And they tell him, don't talk about this anymore. And he goes, I would totally listen to you, but God told me not to. So, my bad. And he heads out. And you know what he does? Exactly the opposite of what the ruling people told him to do. And again, he ends up in prison. Again. And guess what happens? God opens the prison doors and releases him. And guess where he goes? I was just in prison. I was just beaten really badly. I would probably go home. Nope. He heads to the middle of the temple again to start talking to people about the things that he was just in prison for saying. Again, this is not our old Peter. This is a new guy. This is a man. Think about the difference a year has made in Peter's life. Think about the difference a few months has made in Peter's life. It has not been that long since Jesus ascended. It hasn't been that long since Jesus was crucified. And there is this guy who is completely different because he took one step. It hasn't been that long since he was a fisherman on the boat who knew nothing but just that he was Jewish. And here he is. And once we get past this, guess what? People start laying sick people on the ground, hoping that Peter's shadow will touch them. Dude, that's a trick. I want to get there. That's my New Year's resolution. And people are just like, no, not really, because that would be weird. But what if? What if you were known so deeply as someone who prayed and things happened, that people brought their sick to you? What if you were someone who was known so deeply as knowing Christ, knowing what was true, knowing who God was, that people brought their sicknesses, not just physical ailments, but their heart sicknesses to you because they knew that you were going to speak life? What if when somebody told you, I don't like what you're saying, because it offends my whatever, in love, you could speak the truth that sets them free? What if you had that? There are some New Year's resolutions in this sermon. One of them, dude, I just want to stop being so obsessed with the net in my life. And maybe just start to follow Jesus. Maybe just start to let him show me where I need to grow and change. I want to go deeper with him. I want to learn his ways. I want to understand what he's doing. I want real discipleship in my life. I'm discipled. I know what's right. I want some power. I want to... The things that trouble God's heart, I want them to trouble my heart. And the things that trouble my heart, I want the power to change in prayer. We have got a new year, and it looks different. Last year at this time, Vicky was here. And this year, she's gone. One of the big things that Vicky did in our church was small groups, which involves discipleship. One of those things. But one of the biggest things that Vicky did was prayer. Vicky spent hours every day just interceding. This is who she is. It's part of her life. It's part of her heart. Before we had Vicky, we had Betty, which some of you guys have no idea who I'm talking about. Some of y'all remember. But she would spend hours interceding. Pastor Dan is a prayer. He intercedes. But there is something about that person that does that just carries us in prayer. And I know that that's something that God's put on my heart. I've talked to a few people where God's raising them up in that. And there are some opportunities this next year that we have as a body. If you are somebody who says, I got to get on that journey with Jesus, I got to get deeper, I got to figure out who I am in Christ, because all I know is who I am in me, and I got to let Him teach me some stuff. I'm going to be starting some groups this next year. We call them cohorts, and we're going to meet every month and every week. We're going to email each other, and we're going to do life together. We're going to read books. We're going to go through some discipleship stuff, and we're just going to grow together and learn who we are, who our giftings are, where we're called, what we're supposed to be. We're going to let Jesus form us into being more like Him. I'm going to have another group that's going to really work in the area of intercession. But we're going to learn how to pray. We're going to learn how to intercede. We're going to learn how to just go deeper with Christ. We're going to push ourselves in what it means to really, like, see God's power move in our faith, God's power move in our prayers. I'm also open to anything else that people need, but my job here, last year at this time, I was the youth pastor, and I had a Peter moment. I had this moment where God said, I was like this, I was walking, and I was in between steps, and the Spirit of God said, what if you didn't do this anymore? And I went, what? Because I've been the youth pastor for like 12 years. Because I can do it in my sleep. And he went, what if you don't do this anymore? And he called up in my heart the journey that I've been on. All of the ways that he's taught me to disciple. All of the ways that he's taught me to do care. All of the ways that he's taught me to do mentorship. And he said, this is what I want. And in the last year, I've been on a journey of changing that over and raising up new people. And this year, we're going to see what God wants to do in that. So, it's a plug. I'm not going to lie to you, I'm plugging right now. If any of you guys are interested in being part of a group, you're going to be with like 4 or 5 other people. It's going to be fellowship building. It's going to be discipleship. There's going to be one with prayer. We just want, as a body, to grow. Because what could next year look like? Imagine taking a step today and where you would look like next year. What if next year when we sing this song about to live as Christ, you could think about all the ways that Jesus talks to you every day? What if you could think about all the ways, not that you are distracted from Him, but that you are moving in Him? We're going to start that step right now as a church, starting tomorrow, the 2nd through the 22nd. We are going to do a church-wide fast. And all that is choosing Jesus over your nets. How many people think about food a lot? Dude, I think about food a lot. I love me some food. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, oh man, I'm hungry for whatever, right? Food is one of those things that we spend an awful lot of time thinking about, an awful lot of time working on, an awful lot of time just surrounding ourselves with. What if all of that time that we spent doing that was spent in prayer? What if all that time that we were messing with our nets, we were actually just focused in on letting Jesus talk to us and change us and mold us and give us direction? We want to start this year putting down our nets and following. So I'm not asking you to fast completely no food for 20 days. That's not what we're up to. What I am saying is I want you to think about what your net is. Food is a really good thing because it's something that we need. It's something that is really carnal, and it makes us, it takes our focus because it needs to, because we need to eat. And when we say, I don't need that, I need Jesus more, it focuses us. So you could give up a meal, you could give up time. Nick and I are surrounded by little people 24 hours a day. He and I are going to be, we have downtime after the kids go to bed. They go to bed about 9, and from 9 to 10, we watch like a show, he and I. It's our like down detox time. And guess what? It's really pretty worthless to watch TV for your 1 hour of downtime a day. And we've decided that the two of us are going to take that thing that we focus on, that thing that we actually kind of look forward to, that time of just detox, and go, what if in that time we detox with Christ? And instead of feeding our brains whatever we're feeding them, we fed our hearts with Christ. We're going to donate that time to God over the next few days, or the next few weeks, and just press in. Whatever it is that is your net, whatever it is that takes your focus and that you think about and that you maybe rely on for comfort or for downtime or for whatever it is, find that thing and let Jesus fill that hole for the next few weeks. And I will bet you that this is going to be a step that you're going to look back on and go, I took a step here, and now I'm over here. And if I had just gone this way, I would be over here. But God's got me in this new territory that I never could have found myself because of that one step. That's what we're doing. So, we're gonna pray as we wrap up here, and as we go into our time of communion, I want you to be thinking about who Jesus is in your life. I want you to be thinking about what it means, what that next step is for you. If it means following him, if it means deeper discipleship, if it means more power from the Spirit, if it means just listening, and what it is that you are going to commit to him in the next few weeks, just to show him, I'm ready for that step.